Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome visitors in Jesus' precious name. Just a few intimations to run through. There's a tea and coffee after the service. It's a great time just to have a bit of fellowship, a bit of time to catch up with folk. So you're all very welcome in the small hall. Guild Tuesday afternoon is looking at street pastors, and the speaker is Richard Wiggins from the Ayr Prestwick group of street pastors. So that in itself is a good reason to go that day, because the street pastors is a really good project. Church magazine articles are now accepted for the December issue of the Herald, and Catherine Reid emailed or handed by the 5th of November, and the email address is there. Our joint service in 2 weeks' time, 10:30 in the hall at Ardeer. This is one of those fifth Sunday services that we do something with a difference, and the difference is we'll have breakfast together first. So at 10:30, that's when the service starts, and we share breakfast together. So it's about spending a bit of time round tables, speaking to each other, being with each other, sharing with each other. And as we do that, then we build up how we know each other as well. And then following that, we will just have a time of worship, which will take us through hymns, prayers, reading, and an address, and just spend that time in worship differently. Now, this only happens 4 times in a year that there's a fifth Sunday. So it is something different that we go to. But also, with it being in a hall and being around tables and there being chairs, then it's a safe place to bring someone who's maybe not been to church before, or someone who hasn't been to church for some time, and maybe this is a reason for them to come back into a kind of safe place, instead of coming back into the kind of formality of the church building, where they come into the informality of the hall and we worship God together at that time. Our discipleship group takes place on Tuesday morning in the small hall at 10:30, so all are invited to that. And I'm on holiday as of Wednesday until the following week, and if there's a pastoral matter, then Reverend Ross Mitchell will be covering in his numbers there. Just a reminder about the joint service that will be on the 12th of November for Remembrance, 10:30 at Ardeer, and then 1:30 at the Memorial for a joint service there. Tickets on sale for the Livingston Players, Cinderella. Something that needs to be done. And down at Ardeer next Saturday morning, coffee morning in memory of Mrs. Ina MacDonald, who died this time last year. So tickets are £3 Saturday morning from 10 to 12, £3 in aid of Ardeer Church funds. You've got tickets. Dorothy's got tickets. It's great. Next week, Rob Barlow will be a preacher. Rob's minister at Ochterarder. I was going to speak Ochtermuchty. That's the wrong place. He's minister at Ochterarder, and he's coming down and conducting worship here with his wife, Gwen, next week. Is that us? The only other intimation I have is a reminder of Nan Mochan's funeral, which is tomorrow here at 1 o'clock. Sorry? 1 o'clock, did I say? 1 o'clock. Here tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and 2 o'clock at Holmford Bridge Crematorium. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Most gracious God, hallowed be your name. Help us to honour your name in what we say and what we do. this time now in our worship, this week in our daily lives. May your gracious presence surround us today, so that obedience to your word becomes a joy rather than a burden. May the depth of your grace, the width of your love, the height of your joy inspire us here and now to more fully be your people, people known not by forced friendliness, but by gracious goodwill. We look to you for this, our Heavenly Father, because on our own we are tempted to be just the opposite. Empower us with your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Let's worship. Heavenly Father, you come to us in love, and you are faithful to us. We pray that you would come to do a fresh work amongst us as God's people, your created children. By your Spirit, help us to be still before you, to be obedient, to be your disciples, and to see that new work that we can join in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who's alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Sometimes, just in the whole hubbub of life, the most difficult thing that we can do is actually just be still. Just to take that time of being quiet and still before the Lord. And it's made especially hard because we're wound up and made in such a way that as we sit quietly, then we remember, when is it we have to put the roast on? A question sometimes others may have, but did I switch the curlers off? But these things all come into our head as we sit, try and sit quietly. But it's part of that obedience, that following of God, of being His disciple, that we need to be able to do that. For it's in that still moment, that silent moment, that we can actually turn to listen to Him, so you can hear that still small voice of God that speaks to us. And so just sometimes we have to take that moment of stilling before the Lord. And that's the time when a minute seems like 5. 5 minutes seems like 10. And 10 minutes is just, it's just almost like eternity sitting there. But that's the practice that we need to get into, that we need to come before God and just be quiet and still and enable Him to speak to us and speak to our hearts. That's part of following Him, of being obedient to Him. So let's just pray now in the quiet. Lord God, come. Heavenly Father, come speak to us in the quiet. Nudge us. Direct us. Hold us. Enable us to put away all these things, these wee thoughts that come to our heads as we sit in quiet, so that we can focus on You. Father, hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing together, Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Let's worship.
Stop.
Jesus said, "In truth, in very truth I tell you, he who has faith in me will do what I am doing, and he will do greater things still, because I am going to the Father. Indeed, anything you ask in my name I will do." Let's pray. Ever-present God, we remember your unfailing love for us. However much we forget, you never fail to remember us. However often we prefer our own will to your will, you go on loving us. However many of our friends give us up, you go on believing in us. Your love for us was so great that you sent Jesus to us and for us, that through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, we might be saved, redeemed. Heavenly Father, ever-present God, come before you this morning to confess that we do not always return your love. There are times when we're unwilling to give up the things that we want, even when they hinder us from doing your will. Times where, forgetting your power to help, we do not attempt to serve you when the way seems hard. Loving God, help us as we experience your love for us to show our love for you by living as you mean us to live. Give us such trust in your power and in your will to help us that we take risks in your service. Remind us of your power to help not only us, but all those whom we love. Ever-present God, remind us in your constant presence, inspire us in faith and trust. Help us through faith to obey and to do the things that Jesus did. Enable us by your Spirit to be released through forgiveness. Your forgiveness. That Father, as we turn to you, we are your forgiven people. Heavenly Father, we come and we worship. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we sing together, "Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, this is your God." Let's worship.
Yeah.
as we move through into listening to the word. The word is from Psalm 132. It's that next psalm in the Psalms of Ascent. And so we'll take that time now just to sit, listen, and if you wish, pick up a pew Bible and read alongside Psalm 132.
Psalm 132, a song of ascent. I'm reading from the New International Translation. Hear the word of God. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jer. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your descendants I will place on your throne if your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them. Then their sons shall sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people shall ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David, and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head shall be adorned with a radiant crown. And may God add his blessing to this reading, this holy word. Amen.
Thank you. We come together now as God's people in prayer, God's people praying for others. As always, there's the prayers on the prayer tree there, prayers that are of the people's hearts, our people's hearts and minds, and that they can be added to at any time. As usual, we pray for things of joy. These are things that we can give thanks for, and many of us carry these things with us day by day, moment by moment. So it's an opportunity to pray for the things that we can give thanks for, but also to remember the other things of joy, especially we remember and give thanks for God's faithfulness to us, both today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And as we think about Ardrossan Presbytery, this presbytery, two things really. One was from Friday night. Last week we prayed for the congregations of Cumbrae and St. John's as they prepared for the induction of their new minister, and on Friday that happened. So we pray again for those congregations as Jonathan Fleming begins his ministry with them, and takes them to what I said about him on Friday was he's a man of creativity, and he's a man who will take the congregation to different places and unexpected places in his working with them. So we pray for them and for Jonathan's new ministry there. We also pray for Beath Parish Church, the Reverend Roddy MacDonald, and also Church and Society Committee of Presbytery and Roddy's the convener of that committee. So these things that are there, we also remember the things of concern, the things that, again, is the burdens we personally bring with us that we kind of want to get off to God. Then these are personal concerns, but also these can be the things that we see in the news, here in the radio, and we know that things like tensions between the US and North Korea and the US and Iran and all sorts of other places, we know these tensions are there and we need to pray about them. There was a bombing in Mogadishu with 30 killed. We need to pray about that, that length of level of violence that we see going on around the world. And so we need to pray for God's peace to be on this world. And as always, we can pray locally for those who are struggling here, whether it's with illness, whether it's with homelessness, whether it's with a lack of food, whether it's whatever the circumstances, we can bring that before God. So let's pray. Living eternal God, your name has been honored through generations of praise and worship. Salvation declared, your name adored by many voices in many different ways. And we add our voices now to worship and to thank you, seeking peace, the peace which is beyond all human understanding, but that peace which has held us secure. Father, we come seeking joy, the joy which defies description, but which wells up from within to give you thanks and praise. Your love knows no limits, and we thank you for the joy of our faith, the laughter at the heart of creation, the joy of knowing that, despite all else, we belong to you and are yours now and forever. Loving Father, we are surrounded by conflicting voices pulling us each and every way, surrounded by contradictory voices, so that your still small voice is drowned out. We come to be surrounded, our faith blunted and our vision blurred. And so we come before you, seeking your ways and your peace, your calm, your quiet, your comfort. Help us, your church, to listen for your voice, and then to proclaim your invitation of mercy and grace to a world which worships many idols. Father, would you come to invade your church, that she may become what you want. And we pray for people today whose lives are focused on the wrong things. We're always racing against the clock and we'd love time to focus on you, who devote their energies to the pursuit of false gods, seduced by money, fame, power, and who trample on others in the pursuit of them. We come to pray for people whose lives are disintegrating through no fault of their own. Those who are out of work, who are wearied by the demands put on them by work and family or lack of money. Pray for those who are worried to distraction about illness, full of sorrow, or under constant strain. Father, we pray that your Spirit would just remove these distractions, that your people would know your healing, your comfort, your blessing. And God of peace, we pray that you would come to those whom we name, that they would come with your blessing that you would give them the peace which passes all understanding. And so, Father, we worship you. And now we pray for those who are on our left, for those who are on our right, for those who are in front of us or behind us, for those who are seated above us or beneath us. For those at a different part of the building. Father, we pray for all those whom we love, for those whom we struggle to love. Lord of all the living, remember all those whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue to worship, singing together, "From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, come to worship the servant king."
From heaven we came.
Let's pray. Father, we come worshipping you and giving you the glory and the honour. So as we do, we pray your Spirit present with us now would enter us, each one. It would open us to your word and to your ways. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. As we reach this psalm, there's just another couple more or so to go in the Psalms of Ascent. These psalms that we've been looking at over the last few months, psalms which have been the ones that the people would have sung as they went up the hill into Jerusalem to go to worship the temple, to be at a festival. And Eugene Peterson has been looking at them in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society, looking at all the issues around what it is to be a disciple. I was going to say today, but of course the book was first published in that Instant Society of 1980. And then he looked at it again around 1990. But it still stands for us today as an instant society. In fact, society is probably more instant now than it was even then. So today we're looking at that idea of obedience, but actually being free as a disciple, being free within that obedience. You know, it strikes me that as life has gone on, as society has continued to evolve and to move, that the whole idea about obedience and about obeying seems to many to be something that they just don't want to do, that they're not going to do, because that means giving in to someone else. We've come a long way in terms of human rights, but with every right there's a responsibility. With every right there's a responsibility to actually not impinge on somebody else's right in declaring our own rights. And some of that's getting lost. Some of that becomes lost in this whole fervor of actually not wanting to be subservient, of not really wanting to submit to higher authority, and it's seen negatively. And mainly because I can't do what I want to do. It's my right. Whatever it is, it's my right to do. And I want to do that. And you can't stop me. You can't tell me not to. And so this idea of actually working in with society, being part of society, is fragmenting because people don't want to follow the rules. Eugene Peterson looks at this psalm firstly as obedience with a history, and secondly looking at it through hope, a race towards God's promise. In the first part of the psalm, he recounts the fact that David had made a vow to God about building the temple for God and for the ark. David had vowed to make this temple, this place for God, this house for God to sit in and to be in. And of course, the ark would be there as well. The ark, which was made at God's instruction by Moses, the ark which the people followed out of exile into the promised land, the ark which the people took to war with them, thinking that it was some sort of charm that would keep them safe and make sure they won the war or the battle, and of course they didn't, and the Philistines took the ark. That same ark that was returned by the Philistines because of all the cursings that were going on because they had the ark. that ark which David brought back to Jerusalem. So the psalm doesn't actually go fully into the history of the ark, but it records the presence of the ark being the symbol of God's presence among his people. And so this is what David wanted to do, was to build this temple for this place. And of course, God had said no. But what the ark does, and all the recounting of the ark, is it focuses on the obedience of the people. In many ways, there was God and there was the people. And so that idea is there for us to look at. David didn't build the temple, but he left behind all the resources, the money, the land, everything there for the temple to be built. The second part of the psalm then looks at hope and a race towards God's promises. That idea of the psalmist records God's promises of what's going to come, what's happening, and that's the hope that we see of God's promises. And so within all that, we start to work out what it means to be obedient to God, to be a disciple. What does obedience mean within discipleship? It means keeping God's covenant. It means trusting and obeying God, for he wants a faithful people. But we're not bound in chains of obedience to God, but rather set free in him. John Calvin says that true knowledge of God is born out of obedience. He points out the only way that we can get to know the one true God is to be obedient to him. It's firstly about being still before him and listening to him. Deuteronomy, the Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in obedience to him, that you will keep his decrees, his commands and laws, that you will listen to him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, and that you are to keep all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. So obedience is about keeping God's commands, keeping his covenant. All the things that God has done for us to bring us into an agreement with him, into a covenant with him, we are to keep. And the promises, just as the psalmist says, the promises are there for us, that we are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, that we are to keep all his commands. And he has declared that he will set us in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that we will be a people holy to the Lord our God. That's his promise. It's his promise for us keeping the covenant. And that's what obedience starts to come down to, that the fact we keep that covenant, the fact that we're still before our God at times, that we listen to him, that we improve ourselves by reading his word and working to understand his ways, following his ways. You know, we are people of the way. The early Christians were referred to as people of the way. We're people of the way. John's gospel says quite clearly, John 14 and 15, if you love me, says Jesus, keep my commands. You know, that if can also be translated as since. Since you love me, keep my commands. And that brings in for me a slightly different tone, that instead of keeping the commands and loving God, we actually love God, and since we love him, we keep his commands. It changes how that might look for us, that in thinking about the Ten Commandments and the great commandments that Jesus gave, which remind us too of the Ten Commandments, these are ways not that we do to love God, but these are how we're going to be as we love God. Since we love God, we will love him and we will love our neighbor. That's how we're going to be. So we don't strive to follow the commands because we love him first, and following the commands becomes easy. And so being a disciple means keeping God's covenant, trusting and obeying in God, for he wants a faithful people. But we are not bound in chains of obedience to God, but rather we're set free in him. He set some limits for us about how we are to be, and that's because he knows us and he wants us to be faithful. The people, as Moses were up on the hill, the people were told not to come round the mountain. There was a limit. That wasn't just about keeping them safe, but it was also about their obedience, their faithfulness to God. And you know, there's a threat to obedience. There's a danger. And the danger is this, that we might reduce Christian existence to just ritually obeying a few commandments that are actually things that suit us, things that we feel quite comfortable with, or suit the way we are living our lives. It's a bit of a pick and mix theology. We do what we think is good for us and miss out all the hard bits, all the bits we don't like. There's a danger there. And the danger is that the religion becomes separated from the promises of God. So instead of fully worshipping God in everything that we're doing, we actually start to follow rituals, traditions, which mean something to us, but mean little or nothing to God. That's not about obedience. That's about my rights, my ways. I'm going to do it my way. Obedience to God is about following his ways and keeping his commandments. Keeping his laws, being obedient to him, means that we are actually set free. We're not bound, tied to ways of the world. We're not bound even to ways of God because we want to follow him. And we're set free. It gives us something to stand on. That psalm gives us obedience with a history to stand on and to remember the promises of God, that we can actually leap out in faith. We can take a risk knowing God's there. True knowledge of God is born out of obedience. Out of taking time to be with God, to listen, to be still, we can learn who the Father is, what his desires for us are, and what he desires from us. It doesn't tie us down, it sets us free. And it sets us free to know the sacrifice that God made through Jesus Christ, his Son, and for us to be able to receive the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being obedient to God is a calling from him to be faithful to him, to follow his ways, to know his word, to improve ourselves, and to be able to love him and love our neighbors. These things flow out of the freedom of just sitting in God's love and God's covenant, because he's prepared everything for us. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he loves us, each one of us. Amen. We continue with our offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we present these, our gifts to you, we also present our very selves once more. By your Spirit, may we trust in you and obey you. May we see your work in this place, and may we follow you. May we see your kingdom come. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And we worship again together. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?
Thank you.
going out to love, to serve, to trust, and to obey the Lord your God. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.